Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Peter 1, 3-9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his mercy, he has given us new birth and into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power, until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your father of great worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. Can I have the controller? Some years ago, researchers performed an experiment to see the effect of hope on those who are undergoing hardship. Though they put two sets of laboratory rats, they put first set into a water cup, and the rest did not last too long. So within an hour, they all die. They all drown. So the researchers put the other set of rats into another. Well, it's kind of cool experiment in another water cup, and when they are almost drown, and then they will. The researchers will pick them up from the water, let them rest, and then put them back there again. And then they will struggle, but then they will struggle longer. And then they will the researchers will pick them up and let them rest. And then they can keep going on for hours and hours. So the conclusion of the experiment is not to see how good a swimmer these rats are. The experiment was to see if hope is given, a hope of survival is given, how will the animal, maybe even human, would act in terms of challenging time. So the result of the experiment conclude that even for the animals, when they see that there's hope, that they can hope someone will rescue them, they will struggle. They will go, keep on trying to survive. But for the group that saw no hope, they will just give up and die. So people are like that. We need to have hope to live on each day. Without hope, we have no energy, motivation to live on. The ones who are finishing exams, probably all finished now. The hope is that they will finish the exams, right? If there's never-ending exams, I mean, this will be a nightmare, isn't it? But you know that this day, today, I think it's probably all over now, that the exams will be finished. And then one more year, you'll be graduating. You'll find a job. Then you don't have to go to school again to study. You think that that's easier, but actually, wait and see. But then that's hope. At the beginning of the pandemic, 2 years ago, the pastor, myself, was in great despair. Came back to church. For a long time, there was nobody in the church. We even recorded our sermons and put it on online. And it wasn't what we are called to serve, a radio station host or YouTuber. That's not what God calls to serve. And myself was in a great despair. I'm sure all the pastors were as well. And I'm sure you were in despair, discouraged at the beginning of the pandemic, because we do not know how this pandemic will pan out. We don't know, it will just keep on going until all the people on earth will get infected or will all die. Maybe this is the end of the world. Nobody knows. But as it moves on, vaccine being rolled out, and then we have hope. And now our hope is that everybody will come back and just look forward to the day that we'll fill the church again. That everybody will be here, that we can all share together as a community. We look at the war in Ukraine, and I think everybody has hope that one day there will be peace. We don't know how, we don't know how long this will last, when the peace will come, but there's hope. So when there's hope, we will keep on. I'm sure the people in Ukraine, they have hope. That's why they keep fighting. We need to have hope. Otherwise, we cannot even go on living. But what is our hope? And when we were younger, I'm sure some of you have read this play by Irish writer Samuel Beckett, Waiting for Godot. And it is it's not exactly your K-drama. I'm sure most young people would not be interested in watching this nowadays. It's quite boring. And that was the intention of the play. It's interesting. That was the intention of the play, is to be boring. This play is called The Theater of the Observed. And it's about two people who are, the whole drama, the play is about two people waiting. And then two more people came later on. They're waiting and waiting. Waiting for this person, Godot, but they don't know who this person is or this event or things. They never tell you what this is or who this is. They keep waiting and waiting. And then there were times that they think about just leaving. They said, no, just keep waiting for a little while. He will come, the person will come. And then while they're waiting, they're bored to death. They have nothing to do, nothing to say. So they keep repeating the same thing over and over again. They get really bored. Eventually, they don't know what to talk about. And what the playwright also tried to mirror this with the audience. So he kept the audience keep thinking, okay, where's the climax of this this place? How is it going to end, right? So even the audience were waiting and waiting. They don't want to leave, no? Even though it's really boring and looks like they're talking about nothing. But at the end, even the audience felt bored. And that was the intention of the play. But there's a deep meaning behind this play. Boring, nothing to share, just waiting. I don't know what they're waiting for, who they're waiting for. They're just waiting and waiting. And they're trying to show life is like that. Life sometimes is monotonous, dull, observe, pointless. You don't know what you're waiting for. Are we waiting to die? That's the only thing that we are for sure, isn't it? That all of us here, there's no exception. I don't know if you become a millionaire, you win the lottery, you get a good paid job, you will advance very high in your academic world. We do not know, but one thing for sure we know, everyone here will die one day. I mean, sometimes people are like that in this world. We are waiting and waiting, and we don't know what we are waiting. So meanwhile, when we are waiting, we are doing things, saying things that sometimes doesn't really add significance to our life. But Peter, 1 Peter, the scripture that we read today, He is talking about a living hope. It's a living hope. It's not just a hope that you don't know when it will come. We don't know when it will come. That we don't know what we're waiting for. It's just something that you hope for the best. It's not that kind of hope, not hope for the best. It's a living hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. It's not just hope. It's like living water, fresh, this word, living, zio in Greek. It's something that has power in itself, fresh, strong, efficient. It's not just any hope. It's not just hoping for the best. I hope you will do well. You hope for the best. I hope you will success. It is a living, something that's alive and acting. It's not an empty, dead hope of the world. What is this hope that Peter is talking about here? First Acts 10 to 11. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." Peter talking about the return of Christ, the Lord that he truly loved. It's just not the hope for the best, not just a promise of a new world. It's more than that. He's looking forward to the return of Christ. It's a living hope. And I believe in Peter's time, he probably thought that Jesus will return during his lifetime. This promise of the Christ, return of Christ, is an inheritance. It's not something, it's something that Peter is really sure that we will get. It's not just some promise. It's written, it's an inheritance. It's written in the will to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for all of you here, for everyone here. It's an inheritance, assurance. It's a warranty. Like when you go to the bank and buy some bonds, the bank will give you a warranty that it will be redeemed, and then you get this much money back as the interest. So we have this inheritance reserved for us. This inheritance unsoiled, undefiled. It will not fade away. It's permanent. It's in heaven. How can we receive this? Peter said, it's based on God's mercy that we can claim this inheritance. But you have to be born again. You have to be born again. I'm sure all of you, if you're here, maybe most of you are born again Christian. You're born again in Christ. So you can already claim this inheritance. It's already written in the will, waiting for you, for that day, for you to receive. God promise, it's more promising, better warranty than the bank. Right? Even bank, nowadays, you know, if you get sanctioned, you cannot get your money out. But this inheritance that's in heaven, it will not fade away. But you have to be born again to claim this. And the warranty is on the resurrection of Jesus. How do we know that he will come back? Even Christians nowadays, I don't know how often you hope for the return of Christ. If Christ returned this morning at 10:07, would you be excited? Will you be happy? Will you be proud to say to him that I have done my best serving you, following you, trusting you? If Christ comes back in 1007, why now this moment? His return is guaranteed by his resurrection. The resurrection completes the inauguration of God's kingdom. It is the decisive event demonstrating that God's kingdom really has been launched on earth as it is in heaven. Last Sunday, we celebrated the resurrection of Christ. He is risen. No one in the history of mankind has ever died, rose again, and never die again. But some people may rose for a few days, few years, maybe even, after maybe proclaimed that for a few minutes, few hours, and then came back up. But then eventually the person will die and never got up again. But Jesus rose from the death, and he never faced death again. And that is the assurance, because no one else has done that before. And the resurrection proven that he is God, he is our Lord. So our hope has a warranty on it. And the warranty is the resurrection of Christ Jesus. The resurrection gives us hope. So there are only 2 days that are important for us. That's today. Today we are here worshiping God. We're doing our best to worship him. And that day when he returns. That's our inheritance. That's our guarantee. But how often we remember, we put our hope on that day. We may put our focus on the day when you finish the exam. I put my hope on the day that everybody will come back. So that's all the pastor's hope, that we can see all our members again at church. Some of them will never return. Quite a few members passed away in the last 2 years. We have officiated over 10 funerals in the last 2 years. Some will never return. But I hope that all of you will return. So we are all waiting. I'm waiting for people to return. You're waiting for your exam over? Are you waiting for this new job that you have applied? You're waiting for this and that. But how many of us are here waiting, looking forward this morning, looking forward to that day that Jesus will return? I have to be honest to you. I don't think of the return of Jesus every day. I have to say sorry. I need to think of that more, because that is our hope. That's our living hope. We are just walking, sojourning in between this day, today, and that day. Our ultimate hope is that day when we meet Jesus face to face. There was a homeless man, as we called it not too long ago, 10 years back in the news. There was a homeless man discovered who died under a bridge by a boy. Pretty sad, but many homeless people unfortunately died. But they discovered when the police did more research, they found that this man, homeless man who died under the bridge, is going to inherit $19 million from one of his relatives. They're looking for him, but they couldn't find him. Right? And then when they find him, he's dead. It's so sad, isn't it? He's going to inherit $19 million from a very rich relative. But he did not know that. He died probably starving from cold. God has promised this hope, the best hope. We are not here waiting for Godot. We are not just waiting for nothing, talking nothing, doing nothing, repeating the same thing. But we are waiting for that day to meet Jesus. I like the translation of Message Bible. This living hope, he translated the Message Bible, and have everything to live for. So it's just not just a hope, but it's something that is an action that we can do today, that we have everything to live for. So this living hope is something that we live for. We live for that day when we meet him face to face. C.S. Lewis said, hope is one of the theological virtues. This means that a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. I have to think of this that day more often. When our focus is on that day, it may not be that far away, then we can see many of our challenges, trials, difficulties. We can see them is not as important. It will give us life energy to move on. And during today, from today to that day, in this you greatly rejoice. While we are waiting for that day to come, we have to rejoice. Even though now a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. There will be challenge from today to that day. That day is not the last exam date, or the first day you start your new job. That day is the return of Jesus. From today to that day, Jesus already told us there will be wars, rumors of wars. Then that day is coming close. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, earthquakes. Vancouver is in a high earthquake zone. So when we do engineering, all our structure has to be designed to resist, sustain earthquakes. Beginning, there will be tribulations. People will persecute you because of your faith. They will even kill you. You will be hated by all nations because of my name, Jesus said. And at that time, people will betray one another and hate one another. We have seen no greater hatred in the war in Ukraine, isn't it? Between people. So senseless. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Lawlessness is increased. Most people's love for others, for the Lord, will grow cold. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Isn't all this fulfilling in front of our eyes? Even our church is trying to fulfill this. Verse 14 of Matthew chapter 24. We're trying to bring the gospel to all nations. Even we are trying to fulfill what Jesus was prophesying here 2,000 years ago. So between now and that day, do not be worried, scared. This is already predicted in the Bible. It's today and that day. We have to be prepared. We have to be greatly rejoiced. Are you kidding me? It's so depressing. Maybe sometimes I just don't watch news anymore. It's so depressing, isn't it? It just makes you so sad. So I love, I love Charlie Bang peanut cartoons. So one Saturday morning, and Lucy and Linus were sitting in front of the TV set. And then Lucy said to Linus, go and get me a glass of water. Well, Lucy. So Linus looked surprised. Why should I do anything for you? He said, you never do anything for me. And then Lucy said, on your 75th birthday, I promise I will bake you a cake. So Linus got up, headed for the kitchen and get the water, and then said, "Life is more pleasant when you have something to look forward to." It is a cartoon, but there's a lot of meaning in it, isn't it? Life is so much more pleasant if you look forward to that day. That day is not just next Sunday, the next fellowship time, the next pay raise day, the next paycheck. The day is when you see Jesus, the return of Jesus. Rejoice. And dealing from that today to that day, we have to, our faith will be tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus. These last 2 years, I believe God has used the pandemic to test many Christians, including pastors, church leaders. During normal time, we behave normally at church. We behave normally in our devotion time with God. We try to be a normal Christian. The system will keep us moving. The routines will keep us going. But during the pandemic, all our routines are thrown out the window. Our schedule will change. No one will check on us anymore. Devotion, no one will ask, no more fellowship time, no one Zoom. Everything has changed. But has your love for the Lord changed in these last 2 years? I've seen many Christians has fallen. Many Christians have left the Lord. This is a time God used this as a fire to test us, just like we use the fire to purify gold. You have to be holy. During today and that day, we have learned, continue to learn to be holy, to be more like Christ, so that when we see him that day, we can be a little bit more like him. So again, we can enjoy him more. We have to be fear of the Lord. Conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on earth. Until that day when we see Jesus, we have to fear the Lord. Too often we talk about Jesus is my buddy, Jesus is my friend. All those are correct, but let's not forget that he is also God of creation. We have to fear the Lord. When we have this fear of the Lord, many of the things that we are doing, we will not do. Many of the things we're supposed to do, we will do. Many of the things that we plan to do for the Lord, we will do it quicker. Fear the Lord. And do not, during this time, today to that day, do not rely on perishable things, silver and gold, material things. From that day to that day, focus not on material things, that busy running around, serving perishable things. And then Peter went on in verse 13. So during this time, be alert, be careful, be faithful, don't fall behind. And prepare your minds for actions. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Prepare your minds for action. Just like C.S. Lewis said earlier, the quotation I put on this slide. This living hope is a living hope. It's not just hope for the best. Let's sit there and hope for the best. Let's just pray. Yes, we have to pray, but after we pray, then we get up and live to our best. I know that when I told people to do Bible study, I use New American Standard or a version that's closer to Greek. But for this one case, I like Eugene Peterson's translation of verse 13. So roll up your sleeves, put your mind in gear. This is NASB, New American Standard. Prepare your minds for action. But actually, the original Greek is more closer to roll up your sleeve. Actually, it means tie up your garment. But he's referring the garment to your mind. But he actually used the Greek, used the word tie up your garment or roll up your sleeve. So I find it interesting and inspiring, this translation. Roll up your sleeve. So what do you do when you roll up your sleeve? Well, start building your car for the grand piece that's coming up in a few weeks' time, right, Abel? Hello? Oh, I need to do that this afternoon, okay? Let's go and start building up the car. But I'm aiming not for the fastest car. I'm aiming at the most good-looking car, so I have changed my focus. I know I cannot beat all these guys. But you have to roll up your sleeve and start building it, building a car. You have to roll up your sleeve and start putting yourself in action. This is a living hope, not just sit there and hope for the best. While we are waiting for that day, we have to roll up your sleeves, put your mind in gear. This is a living hope. For Peter, his hope is not just a new world, not just heaven, not just eternal life, not just the reward waiting for him in heaven to claim, not just a place described in Revelation. For him, his hope is meeting Jesus. He has seen Jesus, even though you have not seen him, even though none of us has seen Jesus. But Peter has seen Jesus, and Jesus has asked him, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes, Lord, I love you." So Peter said, even though you have not seen him, you love him. He's actually trying to say that I have seen him. I have met Jesus. He probably spent more time talking to me than to the other disciples, other people. And I have talked to him and I told him I love him. And Jesus told me that he loved me. So Peter was trying to say that, no, Jesus loved me. Jesus loved you. Though you have not seen him, you love him and Jesus loved you. So to Peter, and also to us this morning, we are waiting for the day. It's not just heaven. It's just not a big, nice, mega house in heaven, lined with gold. Not just that. Not just our reward. We work so hard at church. Then when we go to heaven, we claim a reward, a golden crown. It's not just that, not just eternal life with no tears. Peter is talking about his hope is actually meeting Jesus face to face. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Do you love Jesus? Love not just only the ministry, the work, the church, all those that yes, let's not forget, we need to love Jesus. And that day is when we can meet him face to face. I met a couple recently. One was in China, one was in Canada, and they met each other online. And eventually they got married. I thought that was interesting. So I can imagine when they first met in China, although they actually met in China. When they met in China, they were probably so elated, happy, excited, isn't it? Right? Someone you love, finally you get to meet. Do we have that feeling this morning about Jesus? Are we looking forward to actually meeting him? Or you actually be scared? Though you have not seen him, you will love him. For the first, the early believers were not looking for something to happen. They were looking for someone to come. Looking for the train to arrive is one thing, but looking for someone we love to come on that train is another matter. So, brothers and sisters, this morning, If you have this true love for Jesus, not just the ministry, not just the work, not just even the church, if you have this true love for Jesus, you'll be longing, looking forward to that day when you can actually meet this Lord that you serve, that you love. While you're waiting, let us prepare ourselves. Let's be joyful. Let's be holy. Let's strengthen our faith. Let's be ready. He may come in 10:29 a.m. this morning. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, as we today, we're waiting for that day that you will come. Let us be prepared. Let us long to see you face to face. Though we have not seen you, but we love you. And let this love keep us going. Let's have a living hope. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.